When you move, we want more. When you speak, we want more. When you move, we want more. And really mean it. Because the Father will send down a word and say, okay, you want more. What will you do? Make the first step and I'll do the rest. Personalize it. When you move in my life, not everybody will go where God would have them to go. Not everybody will do what God would have them to do. But when he moves in your life personally, when you move in my life, when you speak in my life, when you move in my life, I want more. I don't want to settle for religion. I don't want to settle for what everybody else settles for. I don't want to put a limit on you. I don't want to be entertained. There's only one who needs to be entertained, and that's you. The only way we can do that is to be about your business. You know, we live in a time where, you can be seated for just a moment. We live in a time where, I kid you not, I was half asleep and half awake, and I hear now these who are preaching the greasy grace, as they call it, or the hyper grace, super grace, if you will. I listen to them, and if you know the word, you'll find they'll go so far and then they will no longer make sense. And now they're becoming defensive. And, you know, if you believe what you're teaching is right, you're going to stand for the truth, regardless of the consequences. But I listen to them say things like, you know, and don't say the word holy, because holy will only run people away. You know, don't talk about the sins, because the sins will only make the people feel bad and go away. Just tell them about God's love. And one said, you know, you see, they do like this. They have you come in one day and you were drinking alcohol and stuff, and so you were drunk, and they said, well, God loves you and God wants to save you, and they pray the sinner's prayer, and then you go away, and then they come back next week and they're drunk again, and then those same people are saying, you know, you're going to go to hell if you go. And so it's like, I could think of some situations that'll make you change your view. Because when it becomes personal, then all of a sudden you might have a change of mind. I kid you not, I just let my mind run a little bit. I wonder what would happen if, you know, they up there preaching, and then Deacon Posada, I just use it just for a minute. Just pretend. But get up and just go sit next to Pastor Lucia. And what if one of these grace people that you say, you know, God is gracious and loving and all of that and stuff, and God just, you know, it's just grace, you know, no works, no efforts, just grace. Enjoy the grace of God. And so you grace. And then somebody comes and sits next to your wife and starts trying to hit on her while you're up there preaching. I wonder what you're going to do. I wonder what kind of grace you're going to come with then. I wonder if you're going to command him to repent of his sins in the error of his way, have him escorted by the ushers if he don't, you know, get right, you know. No, you're going to tell them, no, that's wrong. She's married to somebody. You know, that's wrong. You don't lust after somebody else's wife. You don't lust after, no, that's, you all of them. Oh, but wait a minute, that's the law. I just hate stupidity. I'm thankful that God saved me for such a time as this. I'm thankful that he gave me a prophetic word years ago at Sonora Camp, where the man stood up, didn't know me, like they say, didn't know me from Adam, stood up and said, you will be one of those who God will use, and you will keep people and teach them and lead them in the truth. And he used a letter from Paul to Timothy. And I'm like, wow, we're in that time where they're teaching all sorts of stuff and people are confused by what's coming across, because on the one hand, it's like, well, you know, God is love, and so, you know, God loves me and everything, and so no matter what I do, God still loves me, and, you know, because of grace, it's not by my works, so I can just go and do anything and live in an old kind of way I want to. I can still live the same way I lived before, because now I got the love of God, I believe in Jesus, so I'm saved. And And then if we tell them, you know, you need to repent of the error of your ways, repent of your sins. Well, now you're trying to tell me that it requires works. It's my efforts that get me saved. And it's like, no. When Jesus comes into your life, he brings about a change in you. He changes first that nature of yours. You know, if you still have that strong desire for sin, that's the old man reigning and ruling. How do I deal with him? Crucify him. Kill him. How do I kill him? Just deny him of what he wants. But the urge and the drive is so strong. Well, then go get a brother. If you're a man, go get a brother, a strong brother at that. And confess your faults to him so he can pray with you and you can get forgiveness. If it's a sister, well, I'm just weak and I need a man. I need some company. Find a strong sister in the Lord that will speak to you and say, no, you don't need him, you need Jesus. And I'll come right with you till he comes in the room and fills you up to where you no longer want him. Because after all he's doing is using you for his own advantage. Yes, maybe I should stop looking at television. I don't watch it that much anymore. But when I do, I always see some crazy stuff. Our Father wants to do a work. Amen. He does. He really does. He wants to do a work. He don't want to even play religion no more. It ain't about this church, that church. It's like, be the church of the living God. Hallelujah. Come alive to me and let me use you for my glory wherever you are. If you're at work, let me use you. If you're at home, let me use you. If you're out there in the streets, let me avail yourself to me. Well, I got all of these responsibilities. Listen, when you can run the entire universe and still be effective in every life of every one of your sons and daughters. When you can outdo that, then tell me how busy you are. I mean, you think about it. The universe does not collide together. It is not destroyed because all things consist in Jesus. He's holding all of this together. That's what the Word of God says. He holds all of this together, and yet he can intervene in each and every one of our lives. The universe alone is enough to try and keep in order. But nevertheless, he possesses power to intervene in each and every one of our lives. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Deacon Posada. I hope they got the picture. And amen. Praise God. Well, let's get ready to honor God with our giving. Amen. This is another opportunity for us to show that we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen? Hallelujah. So if we can get a couple of offering baskets up here and give you time. If you're making out checks, make them out to Threshing Floor Tabernacle. TFT, if you want to abbreviate it, make it short. If you're doing cash, make sure you write on the envelopes your name and information. And then also put the dollar amount. It's not like we are, you know, want to just see how much you're giving, but we do keep records, and we want to make sure that what's on the envelope matches what's inside the envelope. If not, we'll change it, and if it's a big difference, we'll notify you and let you know. Hey, you said you gave $100, but it was $1,000. So, you know, we just want you to know that. There are no refunds, but we just want you to know that. make sure you mark it right in your checkbook or your account. No. Anyways, we'll give you time to go ahead and do that. Deacon Aquino, when you get done, if you can go ahead and play some music for us while we're getting our tithes and offerings together. It's a great day. It's a glorious day. It's a day that the Lord has made. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. You have won it all for me. Death could not hold you down. You are the risen King, seated in majesty. You are the risen King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have won.
You are the risen.
Yes, you
King.
Are.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on. It's not just a song. It's true. Hallelujah. It's true. Songs can come and songs can go. But when we're singing about the Master and what he's done, that's for all eternity. It's just as important now as it was when he rose on the third day from the grave. Even every time we have communion and break bread and share in the cup, we do it in his remembrance because it actually took place. And Paul said this as often that as we do it, we do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We're faced with a generation that does not know God, does not know the power of God, does not know the history of God in working with his people. And we've got to convince them to come to Jesus Christ. We've got to convince them that Jesus is their only hope. We've got to get to them. And by the grace of God, we will. One by one, little by little, we plan on conquering the land. Our Savior said, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Do business till I come. What kind of business is he interested in? He's interested in kingdom business. He's interested in men and women, boys and girls, families, single men, single women, children. He's interested in babies being raised up in the fear and admonition of Almighty God, so they won't be sucked into that vacuum, sucked into destruction, sucked out of the way of God. God wants us for himself. It's hard to keep from crying. And enjoy this present life. We must not forget the reason why we're here. Let's offer up the offering to the Most High. We don't even receive offerings just to keep the doors open. We receive what honors the Father. Out of that, he'll keep the doors open. With that being said, go ahead and be seated. Father, we thank you for the word that's about to go forth. Let it go forth as you would have in the remaining time that we have. I don't want to go beyond what you say, and neither do I want to hinder or hold back what you want to say. Just want to glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles with you, open them up to the book of 1 John. We are tremendously blessed as the people of God. The blessing of God comes just out of our relationship with him. It's the kind of God he is. He doesn't want to curse. He wants to bless. When we look at what he did in the beginning, everything that God made was good. And then when he got to man, he said it was very good. So God's intention was good from the beginning. Things turned for the worst when the devil, first of all, he tried to start an uproar in heaven. And in his rebellion, deceiving a third of the host of heaven to follow suit with him in the rebellion, they were all cast out. And it happened so quickly that even Jesus said when his disciples came back to him saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name. And Jesus told him, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But he told him, he says, I saw Satan fall like lightning. You know, Papa God, Father God, Daddy hit him so hard that it just happened so quickly. He fell. And he's been nuts ever since. So, you know, it's like the Father dealt with things in the beginning, but he cast him down. And while he still can come before heaven and accuse the brethren. We know that because the word of God says that. It's not by necessarily like, oh, we saw. We went to heaven and we saw Lucifer come up there. No, God says he still has access. He can stand before God and accuse the brethren. Sometimes you feel condemned because the enemy's trying to accuse you. And if he's that busy about coming against you, then that means you're doing something right. He's not accusing those that are already under his sway. He's already got them, and they're not trying to get any closer to God. The only reason he would accuse you is trying to interfere in your walk and relationship with God. He'll do everything to cut and sever that tie to keep you under his web, under his influence, and obeying him and doing what he wants you to do rather than doing the things that God wants you to do. Everybody that's in this world and has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is under the influence of Satan. They may not admit it, they may not like it, but nevertheless, the word of God says it, and that settles it. You mean all of these good people? How can you say that? The Bible says it. That gives me permission to say it. It's my Father's word, okay? So everyone that is not under the lordship of Jesus Christ is still under the prince of the power of the air, the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. They would do some of the most obscene, ridiculous, meanest, evilest, vilest things that they could imagine because of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of disobedience that works in the sons of disobedience. This is why we see people, you know, the heinous acts going on today, the beheadings of individuals, the setting someone on fire in a cage, the going in and spraying people with bullets, the driving down the road and then all of a sudden deciding to drive and hit a lot of people. Excuse me. Pastor Lucia, she loves me so much. She likes to share everything with me. And so she won that battle, but the victory is still mine. Praise God. So if you see me do this, it's because I'm being a little bit self-conscious. I don't need you to see any shining coming down by my nostrils. I want to try and wipe that away, and for Ariel's sake, and yeah. So, yeah. Dad, need the wipe. So under the influence. Let me show you that in the Bible so you won't think that, well, that's just his opinion. I have no opinion when it comes to the kingdom. I am an ambassador of the kingdom of God, and you are an ambassador as well. That means I have no opinion, but my kingdom stand and position on these issues are this, and that's what we give. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Well, what is this all about? Tell me how blessed I am. You are blessed, as I said at the beginning. It's the will of the Father to bless you and to prosper you. That comes automatically. That comes just through your loyalty and servitude towards him. He will shower you with blessings. Blessings will overtake you. That's his word. It's not just an Old Testament promise. It is a promise that is wrapped up and fulfilled in Christ Jesus. How do we know this? Because the writer said this in the book of Hebrews. He says, you know, if the old covenant was good, the new covenant is better because the new covenant is based on better promises. So we get all of the blessings of the old as well as those in the new. So we're better off now than we were if we were born in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All they could do is look forward to the promise of God. We come on the other side of the promise. The promise has been fulfilled, and now we get to enjoy both the promise as well as some of the blessings that were on them. What do I mean by that? Well, we don't have to offer up bulls and goats and rams and sheep. We don't have to come before God, you know, with animal sacrifices, spilling blood and stuff like that. It was good because it was atoning for their sins. But we don't have to do that no more. We have Jesus. He's atoned for our sin. So are you there? Ephesians chapter 2? Okay. Good. King James Version. Let me go to that as well. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1. And you tell your neighbor he's talking to you. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. He's talking to you. And you hath he quickened. That word quickened means made alive, which means we were dead prior to coming to Jesus. We were the walking dead. We were like the movies that they make, you know, a dead corpse, a zombie, if you will, kind of thing. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We had the sinful nature that was dominating us and keeping us held captive. Our home and destiny prior to Jesus was hell along with the devil. Eternal torment, not a temporary abode where we would be there and then somebody who's still alive can pray and give penitence and give money and stuff and buy our way out of this place called purgatory and get us on into glory. No, that don't exist. It is appointed unto man, according to Hebrews chapter 9, I think it's verse 25 or 27. It is appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. Okay, so when you die, then judgment, the sentence, the decision is made concerning your final state, okay? Some of us have passed that judgment, or the judgment has passed over us. Along with the wrath of God, it has passed over us. We are no longer children of wrath. In other words, children that are headed towards the wrath of God coming upon them. We're no longer of that sort. Now we are children of promise. Ha! We get the promised blessing of God. So God's nature is good, his desires to do good, and you will fare well with him if you serve him with a loyal heart. He will bless those who bless you. He will curse those who curse you. And in and through you, all families of the earth will be blessed. That's the promise that was to Abraham. And because you are now Christ, you belong to Jesus, it's a promise to you as well. Amen? So you are automatically blessed. When you wake up, you just wake up in a blessed state of glory. Amen? Hallelujah. You don't even need anyone to come and just tell you God's going to give you $1 million or God's going to do all of these things. You don't need that. Now, mind you, if God tells somebody to tell you that in order to bring some direction in your life or to help you to see what he's trying to do, that's fine and dandy. But you don't need that because you are automatically blessed as a child of God. You're a blessing going somewhere to happen. You used to be a child of wrath. You used to be an accident going somewhere to happen, a curse going somewhere to happen, trouble going somewhere to happen. But Jesus changed you, and now you're a blessing wherever you go. Hallelujah. You got the power to bless others in your hands. And others that bless you will be blessed in return. We don't have to tell us, I got to do something for them. They did something for me. I got to do something nice for them. You don't even have to do that. Because God will take care of them for being a blessing to you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's the promise. That's the blessing on your life. But look at this. It says, and you hath he quickened. Okay, that means we were once dead. But you hath he, and that me included, we hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. In other words, that lifestyle of sin, that lifestyle, that nature that came from Adam, all the way from Adam, up to us in this day and time. It goes everywhere, all over the earth, wherever mankind is, the nature, the fallen nature of Adam resides with them. When we receive Jesus Christ, we receive a new nature. Paul says it like this, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You get a new nature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become brand new and all things are of God. So you're a changed man and a changed woman. Now it's just a matter if you're going to cooperate with God. Hallelujah. You cooperated enough to get saved, but now it's cooperate to live this life that he wants us to live. And if we live it, it's going to be the best blessed life we could have ever chosen. This life has a promise now and in the life which is to come. Insurance policy. Then an insurance policy. The only one that's going to benefit off the insurance policy are your benefactors, or what do they call them? Beneficiaries, yes. Those are the only ones. You won't even benefit off of that insurance policy, but you still need to have it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't let them burn you up as ashes. Get an insurance policy. If you just get enough just to get yourself in a casket and get buried, do that. Praise God. 25, 50, the younger you start, the better off you will be. So, don't let the family get around and say, well, that'd be a shame. Pastor Killers preached all those sermons and helped all those people and ministered to them, and his family burned him up. Burned him up and put him in a... I'm not trying to mock anybody that's gone that route. I'm just saying. Patriarchs. The patriarchs. The patriarchs. They bought land to bury themselves and their families. That's the pattern of the patriarchs. That's who we're of. Joseph thought so much. About himself not being selfish, but it was in his heart that he knew that he would die in Egypt. But he said, God is going to deliver us out of Egypt, and when he does, make sure you take my bones. I don't even want a bone left in Egypt. So, yes. But this is better than an insurance policy. An insurance policy, you don't get the benefit. You get to pay the premiums. Praise God. You get to make those premiums every month, however often, quarterly or annually, however often you make them. But your loved ones get the benefit off of that. And that's not a bad thing. But just have enough so that, you know, they don't shove you in the, as a believer, okay? Well, what does it say that in the Bible? It doesn't say that in the Bible. But, you know, there's no use in you giving them a preview of hell. But some of you just went, whew. But some of you is like, that was pretty good. Amen. Okay. Keep going. Sensitive subject. Better than an insurance policy because you benefit both now and in the life to come, and it's all about your life and not just others. Verse 2, wherein in time past, listen, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Isn't it something that Jesus sets us free from the lifestyle that we were living and then wants us to go and represent him as if that life never existed in you? And it's not like you're a hypocrite, because we have the patience, because as Paul said in the book of Hebrews, we have a great high priest who could sympathize with our weaknesses because he dwelt on this earth in the flesh. And it says that he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So therefore, we got somebody who can sympathize with us when we're going through something. But he can not only sympathize or empathize with us, he can give us victory over it, because he knows what it is to be tried. He knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to be tested. And he passed the test. You always want to hang with somebody that has passed rather than somebody that's flunked. Amen? That's better than the response, but it's good. You want to hang around somebody that's passed it so that you can pass it. Bless God. Hallelujah. Well, if Jesus did it, praise God. Well, that's Jesus, but he's on the inside of me. That was Jesus leading the way while, you know, I'm just cooperating. It may have looked funny, but I know what I meant. Okay, so wherein in times past you walked, conducted, regulated, lived according to the course of this world. I don't know that there's a single person in here who didn't sin before they came to Jesus. I mean, many of us sinned after we came to Jesus, but there's not a person in here who didn't sin before they came to Jesus. So we lived according to the course of this world, the pattern of this world. We live with a sin-filled nature that governed us prior to coming to Jesus. It dictated. It drove us. We did things that many times we've been embarrassed to think about and hope that nobody ever finds out about, of the things that we did under the sinful nature. That's how it used to be. We once did that. What does that mean? That means now that I've come to Jesus, that prince, that spirit of disobedience, the power is broken.
So I once did, but now I don't walk that way no more. I don't do those things anymore. Why? Because the one who's on the inside of me. I gotta get this done. Wherein in times past she walked according to the course of this world. In other words, yeah, man, we were out there living the fast life, the party life, the drinking, the clubbing, the, you know, whatever you want, reveling. Reveling is in the Bible. It's riotous drinking and partying, if you will. Loud music and stuff like that. Man, I still like that. Well, if this party in the light, every time somebody gets saved, there's a celebration, there's a party that goes on. The music is so loud that the jealous other brother is out there. What's all that noise? What's all that racket? Your brother came home. My brother, the one that went and exhausted everything, the one that came to church, got saved, was leading praise, then backslid, went back into the world, and they celebrating that loud because he came home. Not just the church, the Father's celebrating. He's making that, they making that kind of noise. No, he need to repent in sackcloth and ashes and prove himself and stuff like that. And the Father's like, no, bring out the robe. Get the fatted calf, the one that we've been feeding for him when he come home, and let's have a party. God gives us three feasts out of the year, but we can also celebrate seven, that we can have a party. So it ain't like God don't know how to party. Hallelujah. It's not like our Father don't know how to celebrate. No, the music is loud, and everybody's dancing and singing, leaping, jumping for joy. So wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil. He's known as Satan. That's what I wanted to get to. He's known as Satan, Lucifer, the fallen angel. He's known as the snake. He's known as the dragon. He's known as, you call him Leviathan, you call him whatever you want. That's him. You know, you dig up all kind of names, but it's the devil. It's the devil, and he's got demons, fallen angels that fell along with him, and they carry with them their corrupted nature. They are invisible foes, and they attract to dryness. What is dryness? Absent of the water, the living water of Jesus flowing in a person's life. So they get attracted, and they come, and they make that place their abode in the earth because they need a body in order to do their works in the earth, just like our daddy needs a body. That's why it says in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will. You have made a body for me. A spirit needs a body to inhabit. So our bodies were habitations for devils to carry out their work, and with a corrupt fallen mind and then a whole lot of corrupt advisors, you are a danger to society. I remember a judge once said this when I was in court for riding a bike ticket and 10-speed. And this boy, he had been in so much trouble. The judge asked him, he says, what do you have to say for yourself? I'm good. The judge looked at him, you are a menace to society. That was not a compliment. But when you got corrupt advisors advising a corrupt mind anyways, that is a dangerous weapon going somewhere to go off. And that's how we once war. But now we've been washed and changed. But see, the world is still operating. There are intelligent devils, smart devils. They're so smart that they would say there is no God. Atheist devils, agnostic devils, false religion devils, false prophets, false teachers, false preachers, if you will. They operate under a spirit of deception, and deception is Satan's lethal weapon, and people are under that sway. And as nice as people can be and as good of deeds they can do, but not everybody is nice and not everybody does good deeds. We can look at the bad ones and say, yeah, the devil got a hold of them, but there's some good ones out there that the devil has a hold of as well. And they carry a great weight of influence, and they lead people away from the truth that is in Christ Jesus. Do you see why we need to stand up? To be seen and speak loud, to be heard. We don't need to be deceived to fall into that web of, well, everybody's nice. Everybody's nice. Everybody's friendly. Oh, it's a nice, wonderful place. But is everybody saved? Because nice people are going to fill up hell too. It seems kind of crude, kind of mean to say, but no, it's the urgency of the hour. Good people will perish. Why? Because we cannot be justified by our works. Then it becomes debt, like God owes them. Oh, you owe me, because I left $25 million to the University of Cal Berkeley, what have you. I did all of these fine things. I put money into research, cancer research. I put money into heart surgery and things. I put money. I invested into science. I invested into technology. I did all of these wonderful things, and God will say, and none of that is enough to pay your sin debt. You can't pay your sin debt with not one of those millions, trillions, billions, whatever. No, the only thing that is valuable enough to pay your sin debt is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And because you rejected him, I must reject you. And it's just the truth. It may seem harsh, but see, we don't realize how serious our Father and our Lord and Savior is. We think they're like a joke up there. It's okay. We really didn't mean that. You know, you don't have to say it like that. We really didn't mean that. What we really meant was, and that's what we have. We have individuals trying to interpret what God really means. You'll know them by their fruit. Stand to your feet. Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation, and times passed in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, we were once there, but the Lord delivered us. And now that he has delivered us, he wants to deliver them, but he needs us to go to them that he might move through us in order to save them. We can't save them. God can. But we're the vessel, the instrument, the point of contact that heaven has in the earth. Jesus said this, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith in the earth? Will he find those who really believe God? Or will he find people busy and preoccupied with their own doings and think nothing much of God? And then judgment comes, like he says, as a thief in the night. And had the owner of the house known the hour that the thief would come, he would have been there and would have been prepared. Come on through that door, boy. But because he didn't know, he left and left the house unarmed. And the thief came in. And likewise, when Jesus comes, there'll be those that are ready. There'll be those that are waiting. And then there'll be those that'll be going on like, you know, and having fun and doing all sorts of things. Some will be out there. Listen, just because a person is in a poverty state does not mean that they are automatically saved. This is why they told Peter and them told Paul, remember the poor? Paul said that was one of the main one of my main targets. I'm going after the poor. Why? Because I want the poor to be saved. Nobody is automatically saved. Why do you think we still have famine in some countries?
by now, it should have. There's enough information, enough technology in order to solve the problems that we have as far as famine, as far as drought. You know, we have the wherewithal to do it, but it's not being done. God can do it. God can send rain on one place and withhold it from another. That's the power of our God. God can send rain right there where they are. Why does the master do that? There's a whole lot of things, a whole lot of questions that we won't be able to answer right now. But he will answer for himself. God said it like this: I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I'll pour my wrath out on whom I'll pour my wrath out. I raised up Pharaoh to demonstrate my power. What if Pharaoh wanted to get saved? He would have had the opportunity. But God knew he wasn't. So God raised him up as an instrument of wrath that he might demonstrate his wrath against. You better thank God for mercy. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you. And thank God for mercy. Hallelujah. And we got this opportunity now to tell everybody. I mean, just tell everybody about the goodness of the Lord. Let him be good to you. Because you got to have that personal testimony. You got to have that personal proof of how God has done something in your life personally. If nothing but a changed life. Man, I was a vilest sinner. And then Jesus got a hold of me. And now I'm a preacher of righteousness, holiness, and godliness. And I could care less what Joseph Prince or any of these others have to say about it. Those preachers in the those preachers in the 1800s, they in the early 1900s, they were preaching judgment. They were preaching judgment. They had more power to deliver and to set the captives free. And the audacity to say something like that concerning them. It's like that's and this is the kind of generation that's coming up, and they're flocking our pulpits. They're flocking our pulpits. See, this is the thing about your God. He is the Lord, and he does not change. So you hear everybody talking about this new thing coming. You know, this new wave, this new anointing, this new this, this new that. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Lord. He changes not. God's not confusing. See, we'll melt this thing down to where it just fits in with everybody else. Hindus, Buddhists, Islamists, JWs, Mormons, you know, their theology is not right. Their doctrines are not right. Their teachings are not right. And it's not all about doctrines in the sense, but doctrine represents teaching. And if teaching is not based on truth, then it's false doctrine. We got to know the Jesus that God has revealed, the Jesus that God has given. He's not the brother of Satan, and he's not Michael the archangel. That's just the truth. Well, God often, there's just some things that the Father will not compromise. That's why he says, I'm the Lord, I don't change. I've made a way to me, and it's through my son. Nobody else. All will come through him, or they won't come at all. But they're nice people. They're good people. Loving people. Giving people. They do so much. Well, should God give them what they feel they deserve, it would be a debt and not a gift. Salvation is a gift. It's a free gift from God, purchased by his son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God owes nobody nothing. So, here we are. And the thing of it is the lifestyle that whether he delivered us from a perfect lifestyle where we were goody two-shoes, did no wrong, you know, and we got saved, even the good people that are out there doing all of these great and glorious deeds, and they got saved. Or the worst, violent sinner. That's why I like to use Charles Manson. I don't think he'll ever get saved, but just as an example of what the grace, this is the grace of God, what the grace of God can do. It can save and change a man like that. Have a man preaching Jesus after the previous day cursing Jesus. Trying to shut Jesus and his work down. And the next day, he's a wise master builder. Hallelujah. That's glorious. That's the power of God. And if God could do something like that, how much more can he do with you and I? Cooperating with him. Amen. Cooperating with him. I'm done. Cooperating with him. Before I go into sermon number 3, Father, thank you. Thank you for everyone that is here. Thank you for everyone that is here. Thank you for everyone that will hear the message. Thank you for everyone that will have the opportunity to hear the gospel. It's not so much what I say, but what you say, Father. And if I don't say what you say, Lord God, then my words need to be put to the side and your words need to be picked up and carried out. So, Father, confirm your word with accompanying signs and wonders. I've shared that your people are blessed. They're blessed because we have a relationship with you. They're blessed because that's your nature, to bless. You don't want to curse anyone. You want to love them and you want to save. You want to give the free gift of God of salvation to as many as will receive. So, Father, as I've spoken, that they are blessed, demonstrated in this up-and-coming week, demonstrated even right now. As we talked about healing during the offering, Lord God, if there's still somebody in here under the sound of my voice with pain in their body, I even come against the colds and influenzas and things that try and attack our body. Lord, we come against that in Jesus' name. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, temple of the living God. So remove these things from our body in Jesus' name. We shut the door, Lord, in Jesus' name, to being open and exposed to the diseases and the sicknesses that go on in the land. Father, single us out like you did with the children of Israel. You brought 10 plagues on Egypt, and not a one of them affected the children of Israel. So let it be in this hour, Father, and let our healing spring forth quickly. Cancel every assignment of the enemy when it comes to one of your sons and daughters. I cover everyone in the precious blood of the Lamb. I cover our families. I cover our children and grandchildren, Lord God, to the third and fourth generation. I cover grandparents and parents, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. In and through this house, Father, be a blessing to this community that we live in. Be a blessing to the families. Be a blessing, Lord God, to the city leaders. Be a blessing, Lord, to the business community. Be a blessing to the sick, the poor, the widow, the orphan. Be a blessing, Father, through us in this place, that we are rivers in the desert, and that the power of the enemy will be broken off of the lives of your people. The veil will be removed, that veil of deception that has blinded their minds and kept them away from you, that veil be torn in two from top to bottom in the name of Jesus, that they get the divine revelation in their heart and in their mind of who Jesus Christ really is, and that they would understand what we are standing for. Because they might say all manner of things about us, Father, but one thing we can say is we love you and we're called according to your purpose. So here we are. Refine us. Jesus, make us fishers of men. Cause us to be more fruitful and productive in the things that we do for you. We do not want to be barren or unfruitful. We do not want to walk, Father God, in blindness. We want to see. Open our eyes and open the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, understanding the hope of your calling and the purpose of the church in this hour, who we are. And Father, give your sons and daughters a true hunger and thirst for the unadulterated word of Almighty God. Give them a true hunger and a thirst, a passion for the reading of your word. Not just reading, Father, but pondering and meditating and
thinking it over and speaking it, and most of all, living it for your glory. Let your word transform our minds, cause us to think your thoughts and know your ways and carry them out. Cause us to be a blessing everywhere we go because of the blessing and favor of God. And I pronounce a blessing upon each and every one of you, the sons and daughters of the Most High God, that the Lord our God, El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough, Jehovah Rophi, Rohi, our shepherd, Jehovah Rapha, our healer, the Lord our God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. He be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he might bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and that above all else you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell, the powers of this present darkness, will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell. Because you are the church of the living God. You are the pillar and ground of truth, the foundation, the mainstay, the proper support of the truth. You stand for righteousness. You stand for truth. You stand for Jesus. And Jesus stands with you. So, Father, we honor you today. Thank you for everything that you've done and all that you're going to do. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Greet your neighbors. Make sure you greet our guests. And have a blessed rest of the afternoon. We'll be back here at the altars at 6 o'clock for prayers and intercessions. You're welcome to come and join us, in Jesus' name.